From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Megan Mack. Our connection this hour was made July 29th of last year, the final night of Rochester's Puerto Rican Festival. The annual cultural celebration attracts thousands of people. It kicks off with a parade leading to the festival grounds and includes a weekend of family-friendly activities, music, food, and more. But media coverage of the festival is often dominated by what happens after the festival wraps up. Events that aren't affiliated with the festival and happen miles away in Northeast Rochester. On July 29th, 2018, 20 people were arrested as street celebrations got out of control. There were garbage fires, people throwing bottles and rocks at police. Officers responded in riot gear and state police kept watch via a helicopter. Again, those post-festival celebrations are not organized by the festival. They happen among community members who act on their own volition. So, is there a way to peacefully and safely celebrate the conclusion of the festival and try to rewrite the narrative that the media has been sharing? That question led a group of community members to create a survey with the goal of understanding how residents view those incidents and what they would like to see in the way of a post-festival celebration. The Northeast Safety Committee launched the survey in October. They gathered more than 800 responses. And this hour, committee members join us to share what they learned. I'd like to welcome my guests for the hour. Lots of information to share with our listeners today. Annette Ramos is here. She's a member of the Northeast Safety Committee, among many, many other things. Her titles could take me an hour to read. Welcome, Annette.
Thank you.
Welcome back.
Wonderful to be here again.
Rosemary Villarubia Izzo is a member of the Northeast Safety Committee as well. Welcome to you.
Thank you.
And also joining us is Anthony Plonzinski, also a member of the Northeast Safety Committee. Again, many other titles as well, but we are here today talking about the committee. Welcome, Anthony.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, let's start off just by talking about something very positive. Big year for the festival, 50th year.
Absolutely.
And I believe, Rosemary, this is the longest cultural festival in Rochester. Is that correct?
It is the first festival the Rochester city ever saw, and it came out of our culture in Puerto Rico, that we do that. You nightly meet in the plaza once a year. Every town has its festivities. And Rochester, we felt, needed that. And this committee has seen this festival for 50 years. And many of us are so proud to say we are Rochesterians and Puerto Ricans at the same time. So it's celebrating both our cultures together. And this year, with the brain of our wonderful Lieutenant Anthony Nunez, who will be joining us today. After festivals, activities took place last year, it was time that community leaders came together and discussed what we can do. And it is to create a safe atmosphere and minimize tension with police and community, celebrate the culture, be very proud of the arts that we celebrate during that weekend, which is music, food, vibrant art, dominoes, competitions. I mean, we've seen it all. 5Ks we've had, and it's all about the culture coming together. And our focus is the safety and welfare of our community, and that's what the Northeast Safety Committee is about.
Absolutely. Big thumbs up across the table from Annette Ramos.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, first of all, for allowing us to have this platform to speak about it, because really it's about changing the narrative within our community, within the media, and also within the general public. So this year, the celebration, 50 years, we looked at our platform and our media, and we decided that we were going to look at the messaging that we wanted to send out, not only to our own community, but to the greater and larger community. And so we looked at being Puerto Rican for a day. And I literally, one of our elders spoke those words in a meeting, and we all said, everyone wants to do that, just like we are for St. Patrick's Day, Irish for a day. Mm-hmm. So why not experience culture in its authentic environment within the Puerto Rican Festival, coming down 3 days of celebration, 50 years, amazing community, family-oriented activities. Now, speaking about the Sunday after the festival, you're right. These are not organized groups. These are people within these pocket communities that, most of them don't even go to the festival. Anthony will speak to some of the data and the survey findings. But we wanted to give them a voice in celebration, but also engage in safety practices and civic engagement in a way that really speaks to our pride and our culture.
If listeners, if you could see our studio right now, there are a number of posters around the table, beautiful artwork, lots of great slogans. As Annette said, Puerto Rican for the day, do it in a safe way. I have some questions about the messaging and whose responsibility it is to share that message. I'll get to that in a second. But I know that, Anthony, when you first launched the survey, you launched it in October. Annette has spoken about some of the goals, but we received an email from all of you saying we'd like to come in and have the opportunity to sit down with you, talk about what we learned. And rather than doing that in just a closed room, Evan and I decided let's do it on the air so our listeners can hear everything. What's your goal in talking to the media? What do you want to share, Anthony, about what you've learned and what you hope that members of the media take away?
Well, I think it was important for us to really figure out where the messaging was coming from, because even though we are all Puerto Rican and we represent our community, oftentimes we're asked to speak for our community holistically. And we really didn't have a pulse on what was going on, you know, messaging-wise from the Northeast community. This is happening in the Northeast of Rochester, as your lead-in mentioned, in terms of not being near the festival site. The festival itself organized with the city of Rochester many years ago to stop the festival early on Sunday so that they can attend to it. So individuals, there is a need out there. There is a desire, a want, a cry, something we knew that we really had to investigate. And so our message was really, at first, that we needed to take a step back to really understand this. We're not going to understand this if we lump this all together. And we really need to figure out what is the community as a whole, not just Puerto Ricans, African-Americans, Caucasians, everyone in that diverse melting pot of the Northeast, what are they really saying? And really just take a step back and help us figure out what that was. And from that, we gathered over 800 survey results, which astonished us in terms of the amount of response, with a predominant grouping coming from the Northeast of Rochester where the activities were happening. And what we found out, was very interesting in some decisive decisions, some not. And so it leaves it out there about what we're going to do. But that's the big part of making sure that we see that there's a community need out there. It's not a festival need. It's not the Puerto Rican festival. It's not the Puerto Rican parade, which is another entity, but that it's really a community need that we're all going to have to work together. City of Rochester, community members, the county, everyone, if we really want to talk about the safety of our community.
Have you talked with RPD about the results of the survey?
RPD has been involved since day one, so has the fire department and other entities, because they are there in that response. So they have helped take the lead on this. We've actually held meetings at the police stations, in the community, at churches. So they've been with us hand in hand since day one, as well as community leaders and business leaders. And we all took it upon ourselves to really reach out there and connect and make sure that we had representatives from each part to get a real pulse, again, a real read on the pulse.
To add to that, the way this got started, after the Puerto Rican festival, we all have our friends, right? And the next day, you know, as Puerto Rican, I have my Caucasian friends saying, hey, your people are at it again, right? And that's what Anthony Nunez, that's what we all heard. And so, like I said, the brain said, we need to meet and bring community leaders together. And the Northeast Safety Committee consists, and the first meeting was held at the Rochester Emergency Services with RPD, Fire Department, City Council, numerous community leaders. I was blessed to be considered one of those and brought to the table. And since day one, RPD, Rochester Fire Department, numerous firemen, Latino, many of them, not necessarily all Latinos on our safety committee, community organizations, including Ibero, and it has been all about including the churches throughout our Northeast Quadrant in the city of Rochester. So if you looked at our community list, it involves leaders on every level, including residents from the city, which we invited, and young people. That is our Northeast Safety Committee.
Mm-hmm. So addressing the media part, and I do want to speak to that, because that was a very important element that we saw. We actually approached CauseWave and met with them, and really it was brought to our attention, the CauseWave media report of 2018. And that really had great information for us to garner and say, well, if the media isn't telling our story in a positive way, because quite honestly, there's more coverage on the Sunday after the festival than the entire 3 days of the largest cultural festival in Rochester. And we're talking daytime family activities, a children's tent, an elders domino competition, vendors. We have boxing on Sundays. It is an amazing, you want to eat food, girlfriends and guy friends? This is the place to try it. And yet, the overall imaging of the festival by the media is not necessarily positive in the sense of waiting until that Sunday after. We want fair and equitable coverage for our major arts event of the year. 50 years. This should be a major token of Rochester's art community and cultural community. So I just wanted to add that piece because that was why we sent the email out to all media outlets saying, if you want to tell our story, invite us into your studios, into your corporate meetings, and let us help you tell our story well. Thank you.
Absolutely. And Nat, I know you would like to read something from that report. Before you do, no one at this table is denying that there are issues on that Sunday night. I want to make that clear. No one is saying that there isn't disorderly conduct, that there aren't some incidents that we need to be reporting as the media. Those things are happening, but it's important to stress those are separate from the festival. And what I think Annette is saying is the festival deserves its own place to shine. The culture deserves its own place to shine separate from those incidents. So,
and I will add to that. There's actually more incidences that happen after the St. Patrick's Day Festival. There are more break-ins and arrests during, not Cornhill, but Park Avenue Festival. Yet, the media isn't bombarding us with those negative images. We need to change the image. And it is up to us as community leaders to be engaged and say, we want to tell you our stories. And I thank WXXI and you and Evan for saying, yes, come and tell your story in the public. Thank you.
Anthony Nunes is joining us now. Welcome to you. Thanks for being here. I know you have a big part in putting all of these activities together, the survey together. We were talking a little before about whose responsibility it is to try to change this narrative, the narrative Annette was just speaking about. Do you think it's fair, Anthony, that it's up to a grassroots group to step out in the community and try to change the perception that many people have because, you know, a number of incidents happen on that Sunday night? Is it fair that you and your group has to be here right now doing this work?
Well, first, thanks for having us. I don't believe it's about being fair or not. I think things just need to happen. I think at this time, and if it's been 20 years where this escalation and buildup of after the Puerto Rican Festival that Sunday, that there's been some type of event. So I think anybody who's willing to step up and do something positive is more important than whether it's right or fair or anything else. I think our community needs to take care of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need. We need community engagement. We need all our leaders, political leaders, leaders, our unofficial leaders in the neighborhood to step up and say, hey, we are better than this. And not just that, but as Annette was speaking on, having a positive image and not focusing on that 1% of an issue that's going on in those neighborhoods.
I want to talk about the survey results. Anthony Polonzinski, we have somebody waiting on the phone, so Bill, hang there for just one moment. But before we move on, Anthony Nunes, do you feel supported by the city of Rochester? Do you feel like your efforts are being supported by City Hall, Fire Department, the Police Department?
I believe that our city, we're working on getting the engagement that we need from the city. I believe this has been a very positive outcome from what it started out as just a coffee table conversation to something that has some serious movement. You know, I'm surprised even with these posters that they're out and they're about and the neighborhood and the city helped support that. So yeah, I think everybody wants something good to come from this. Everybody wants something good.
Let's turn to the phone lines. Phone's already starting to ring. Again, listeners, our number here is 844-295-TALK. That's 844-295-8255. If you have questions about the Puerto Rican Festival, the survey, we'll get to those results in just a minute. Or any questions you have for our panel about how they're trying to bridge the gap between those the incidents that happened on Sunday night in the festival, also how to separate them. So first up on the phone, Bill in Manchester. Go ahead, Bill.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I think the real culprit here, and the one you're really not talking about, is the media, the television stations and the media covering these things, and they conflate the wonderful Puerto Rican festival with these jerks up in the northeast side who are acting bad. And so why doesn't somebody from the media come on and tell us what they're going to do about being careful in their reporting? The media should be called to task. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you.
Well, as a member of the media who has a microphone in front of her for an hour right now, I will say I think having these conversations are absolutely important. And I do agree, the media has a tendency. I worked in commercial television news for many years, and there's a tendency to listen to a scanner and respond to what you're hearing on the scanner. If you look at an A block in news coverage and television news, so that first chunk of news you see before you go to commercial, you hear a lot of violence. You hear about crime in the city, and it has a tendency to paint a picture of an area without context. And we try not to do that here at WXXI. We're very fortunate to have more time than most stations do. We've got an hour here to talk about a very important issue, explore it from different angles with different voices. I think we're very privileged here at WXXI and in public media to do that. But Bill, I absolutely agree. This is about helping to understand context, change culture, not, you know, affiliate one thing with another when they're completely separate, and that these events on Sunday night are completely separate from the festival. And have you had any meetings with members of the media yet outside of this talk show that you're having right now, Rosemary?
We have. And, you know, that's one thing, especially when we were doing the survey, Channel 13, Tanner, you know, we talked and we were on TV and we talked about the survey, but we talked about, yes, we need to change. We need to change the coverage. I give you an example. Last year at the Puerto Rican Festival, the Rochester Police Department had to say in the fire department, gates closed because the population inside the capacity filled to the max. The pictures are amazing. Just go on the website and look at them. It was a sea of people from one end to the other. And the night ended with zero incidents. No one mentioned that in the community. They showed the jazz festival. They showed Trombone Shorty and the mass of population that was there, identical to the same size of population we had inside Red Wings parking lot. And it was out in the media, the coverage. Look at Trombone Shorty. The community is there, and they're showing the positive from the jazz festival. But wait a minute, let's compare it to the Puerto Rican festival. We had the same size population where they said no more because it was so filled with zero incidents and nothing was mentioned of that wonderful evening.
We're talking 7,000, 8,000 people every day at the Puerto Rican festival,
at
Friday,
least.
Saturday,
yes.
Sunday?
At least.
I think I was a little unfair to my commercial colleagues. We are not perfect here at WXXI. We can always do better. Evan and I talk about trying to do better every single time. I think the difference is that we have more time. We have the opportunity to provide context. And I think everyone in the media can improve, us included.
I think, though, you know, I mean, we do live in a microwave society where everything is a kind of a gotcha moment. Everything is, here you go. How can we catch that person's eye who's scrolling through Facebook or changing the channel and see if we can hold them for longer than 30 seconds of attention? And we do that with these shock value pictures and videos that's going on. That is not necessarily fair and holds a lot of bias in many times. I think that what we're trying to do is we understand that everything is not perfect in society, and what we can do to make that better. It just maybe just one day, but maybe translate to something else, and maybe something bigger in the larger scale of things. We also, I give everybody who's involved in this a lot of credit, because they are, I think you said earlier on in your show, everybody wears multiple hats. So we're doing this. We have our full-time careers and everything else, and we're still trying to make this one sliver of hope and difference for this time.
It's also important to know that this is a very complicated issue, and that's why this has been the third rail of festivals when it comes to what's happening in the community. Nobody wants, in a sense, before now, nobody really wanted to touch it. We only had reactionary responses. I think this is probably the only proactive response, other than a proactive police response, which is not the only or the right response. It has to be a community collective. And we saw that in the survey results. I mean, when you look at those who go to the Northeast and those who attend the Puerto Rican festival, they're not the same people. And they literally said that. They're like, mm-hmm. We do not go to the festival. We hang out in the Northeast of Rochester. So we're talking about two segments here, which really makes that a community issue. It's not a festival issue. It's not a Puerto Rican issue. It's there's something of a need there that they're bridging off of and building off of, much like the St. Patrick's Day Parade mm-hmm. is built off of. The bars are built off of that. And the Park Ave Fest, the house parties are built off of that. Those house parties are not sanctioned events for the Park Ave Festival, but they are probably what people talk about the most.
And the most arrests happen during that cluster of time in the evenings. Mm-hmm. And with that, we wanted to speak not to that community, we wanted to speak for that community. And that's why it was so essential for us to do that survey and garner those pieces. And then also we realized you can't do a hierarchical approach to solving a problem. You have to get out and pound the pavement, which Anthony did, by the way, in the early stages. And Rosemary and I will be disseminating these posters in the next couple of days. So the point is that it's got to be the communities. And one of our posters really speaks to, it's our community. It's our neighborhood. Why would we want to mess up our own neighborhood? And then the other piece was car safety. We realized that a lot of the arrests weren't violent arrests. They were, you know, suspended licenses, unauthorized use of a vehicle. So those were things that we knew we as grassroots leaders could speak to. And the posters and the video and the campaigns and the PSAs and the media tour really says, help us spread this positive message. Help us change the imaging and perception of the Latinx community in Rochester.
We're going to do a data dive when we come back from our break, Anthony Plunzinski. So I'm going to put you on the spot
as the
person who put this wonderful survey together. Lots of information to share. I want to hear about how you went out and talked to members of the community. You had more than 800 responses, so we'll see what some of those are. And then we also want to hear about what your plans are for this year. How are you reacting to the data? So we'll dive into that after we come back from our only break on Connections. Coming up in our second hour, maybe you've used Face App, that social media app that shows you what you might look like in your twilight years. Many users have expressed concerns about privacy when they learned Face App's developer is based in Russia. Well, experts say the concerns are largely overblown, but they're glad users are thinking about privacy. So what actually happens to your data when you submit it to apps or websites? Our guests help us understand that and our rights. You're listening to Connections. I'm Megan Mack, sitting in for Evan Dawson today. We're talking about the results of a survey by the Northeast Safety Committee, which is a grassroots group formed to address some of the incidents that happened after the Puerto Rican Festival on that Sunday night. Before we talk about some of the data, which our data master, Anthony Plunzinski, is here to help us walk through all of that, there are a few questions from listeners about the festival itself. So we'll talk about those very quickly. Listeners, if you have questions about anything, if you have comments, if you have opinions, if you have ideas, you want to weigh in about what you'd like to see after the festival, you can join this conversation by calling 844-295-TALK. That's 844-295-8255. Or if you're in Rochester, 263-WXXI, 263-9994. You can also find me on Twitter at mmacmedia, and you can email the program at connections@wxxi.org. So first, let's talk dates. Festival kicks off
August 16th. It's Friday at noon, August 16th, Saturday, and then finishes August 18th.
Sunday, August 18th at Frontier Field. And how much does it cost to get in?
You know, I'm not sure. I know a three-day pass is 25, but they are welcome to look up the website. This is the Norfolk Safety Committee. We're not the Puerto Rican Festival Committee, so some of the questions I won't be able to answer for you because it might have changed from last year.
And we're normally there volunteering and working the event.
Understood. I put too much pressure. I'll take a look real quick. But a shout out to Orlando Ortiz, who's organizing the festival.
Absolutely.
Every year. Also just named the Hispanic Business Person of the Year. So our congratulations
awesome. Yes,
to him.
Congratulations.
And let's see. I'll share that ticket information with you listeners in one moment. But let's talk about the survey, Anthony. So 835 responses launched in October. I know you had pretty strong representation from 30 to 59 year olds. Were you hoping to reach that middle demographic, or were you interested in all perspectives on an equal playing field?
So here's where the geeky part comes into this, is that we saw the same survey responses that you would find with the census in terms of demographic breakdown, in terms of age, especially what your question is pertaining to, as well as who's registered to vote and who votes. So we really looked at this in a number of different ways of like what are other things individuals are signing up for. Also, the means of how the survey was instituted, it was strictly online, but we also had printed copies. But most of the responses did come in online, and then the printed copies were entered later. But a lot of us, and this is Rosemary, Anthony, Annette, literally pounded the pavement with our telephones and tablets going to events that you normally would not be surveyed at. And so some of our community members are, you know, at first, like, what's this? And then secondly, like, absolutely, we need to respond. And so they took the survey, you know, they're celebrating Three Kings and they're taking a survey on the Puerto Rican Festival. And so you saw a lot of grassroots intervention, which I think led to so many survey responses. From folks, and then also people just taking part in it. You know, one of the things that we wanted to track is everybody talks about where are folks who attend the Puerto Rican Festival coming from, and you had people as far off as Florida and Ohio, New Jersey, who are attending the festival every year, and also then taking the survey and talking about attending the festival. And so you see that families come together and they bring their folks to the community. And they wanted to weigh in on this because they even, you know, talk about this issue.
And you found that while the majority of respondents did attend events at the festival, I think it was 88.9% of them do not participate in anything that happens post-festival in the northeast part of the city. So you mentioned there. How do you reach out to those members of the northeast that are not really reflected in the survey right now?
So that's where more of the community, this grassroots campaign of working with CauseWave and working with others to get into the community some more and talk with those individuals who are not. We are able to differentiate a subset that did not attend the festival but also took the survey. But there's a big swath of individuals who are now living in the community who do take part in it. And so figuring out how to reach out to them. But literally, it's door to door. It's going to businesses up and down the street. We've created in part of our subcommittees as individuals who are in charge of those groups, whether they be community groups, business associations, youth intervention. We want a response for every age demographic when doing that. And so I think that's clear. It also may also lead the question out there that maybe a lot of the folks who are taking part in the Northeast activities afterwards are actually not Northeast residents themselves. And we do not know that, the poster Puerto Rican for the day is important because we notice there are a lot of outliers that may be there that are there just taking part in the festivities, not necessarily residents of the area. But we're honing in on that information.
What were the biggest takeaways? So if you're looking at the data on the whole, is there anything that really surprised you?
No, nothing surprised us, except I think the one thing that I talk about the most, and I'll own this part, but looking at the data is that everybody's in unison in terms of the community gatherings, in terms of the street gatherings or corner gatherings. There's a cry out here, and I think it's, you know, the traditional aspects of culture, the caravana. We keep talking about the parade. And so residents, and I think it screams out in our messaging, we're talking about car safety. Individuals want to participate. And they want to participate in a caravana. And it's very easy to do so back on the island. It is not easy to do so here. So how do we create an atmosphere where it's safe, it's manageable, and we can get folks who to be involved, but to be involved in a safe way. And I think the themes of the arrest versus the themes of what people are saying and their comments on the survey really partake to an idea of we're looking at a parade, caravana type atmosphere in the Northeast, and how do you really harness it and handle it?
And what we're pushing with this posters, as you see here, is reaching those young people, the ones that are not joining the Puerto Rican Festival but are having their own events. And we know it's a younger crowd as well. And as you see, one of the posters says, Puerto Rican for the day, do it in a safe way. It's about engraving in their brains, doing some brainwashing with positive messages out there right now. And we're also doing a PSA that will come out and hopefully you'll air. We're going to hit it through the social networks, social media, put it out as much as we can. And that PSA that we've put together, and it's going to be coming out during our press conference, well, you will see faces from our community that are leaders and people in the community that everyone recognizes, from elder to the fire department to RPD's boss, you know, members of our community from they have been queens in the festival and our mothers today. But it's individual and it's that positive image because we know it's about instilling in everyone's brain safety. And you want to have fun, but you could do it safe.
One of the things I like to say, excuse me, I'm sorry, is everything here, we're not promoting this out as we're trying to create an event or we're asking permission for something like this to happen. This is, these things, these after events that happen on Sunday are happening already. We're looking at that. How do we take this and make it safer so nobody gets hurt, so nobody gets in trouble, and without creating some type of event right now, especially since we're just volunteers from all different places, that we don't have the resources to all the funding to do something like that. And if anybody wants a resource or funding, let us know. We'll get the right people to do it. But we like, what can we do with the help with public safety, with social engineering, media, with the media and volunteers? What can we do with those tools?
I think that's a big question that I've been reading online from people who have either taken the survey or heard about it. They want to know if there will be some kind of organized parade or caravana after the festival, maybe not this year, but maybe in future years. Is that something that came up in your discussions? I know you don't have the resources to do it right now, as Anthony just said, but is that something that might be on the table for the future?
It is something that we did in the survey, and we asked. We asked, what would you prefer, a parade, a festival? What were your ideas? And the bottom line is, as Anthony said, we are grassroots. We are members. We don't have a budget to go out and do and put out an event. We have proposed to City of Rochester and the mayor, and we will be meeting with them. And City Council has received a proposal of the results of everything we have combined in the last 11 months working together as a committee. And with their support, we hope that in the future we are able to do something that we can assist the Northeast Quadrant, who is, this is their call. That's what they've been calling for. They want something. And the festival's out in the Southwest, as everybody knows, at Red Wings. We are thinking about the future. At this moment, it's all about us getting into those communities and in those areas that there are parking lots. We have churches. We have volunteers that are going to be in those parking lots there to meet the young people that come out or the people that are there. But it's going to be about information, having organizations bring out their pamphlets, brochures, anything they want to share with the community. So it will be more about informational stations throughout the Northeast Quadrant as our volunteers can help. And anyone who's willing to volunteer can hit us up. As we said, Facebook, just reach out to us because we will need volunteers on that day to help with those tables that will be there for information for the community.
Great. Good. Annette, I know you want to jump in.
No, I just wanted to add, and the last and final piece is we're a very proud people. We are extremely proud, like Rosemary said, to be Rochesterians, to be New Yorkers, to be Dominicans. We are all those things. And it's the only time where our Latinx culture is somehow highlighted in Rochester in a big way. And this really speaks to the heart of who we are as a people. So making those that Sunday after the Puerto Rican Festival safe for every community member is really our goal. Minimize the chaos and bring a safe environment.
Going back to the survey, one question was, should an event follow the Puerto Rican Festival? 54% said yes. Anthony, 46% said no. Again, Rosemary mentioned the type of events, a caravan, a parade, a neighborhood block party, both. Other was also on there. So I'm sure there are conversations about what other might mean. But there are some other data here that I thought was interesting. Anthony, it says, while a significant majority of respondents do not attend the events in the Northeast on Sunday night after the festival, the overall feeling towards the parade are mixed. So the parade after the festival, not organized by the festival. While 45% of respondents were unfavorable or somewhat favorable, 44% were undecided or showed some favorability for a parade. But then a significant number of respondents who don't attend the events in the Northeast on Sunday night, they're significantly opposed to the street gatherings. So 63.4% opposing them, only 25% in favor.
And reading people in the survey and the crosstabs was pretty challenging. But looking at it, I think what I put out there, you know, I think people, you hit the, I was going to mention that comment. Yeah, I'm glad you went there in terms of like, do they want something? They definitively want something.
Right.
Is this committee in the position, funding, structurally to provide that something? Absolutely not alone. There's no way. And that's why I keep saying this is very much a community issue that has to be owned by the entire community. But there is a need and a desire that people have said in this survey that they do want something, and how do you structure it? And I would, again, you know, be remiss in looking at the data is that, you know, it centers around, I look at the seatbelts on our posters, we talk about the driving infractions, we talk about the need and want for a parade, and they want something after that they want to participate in. You can go to a festival and you can pay to get in and you participate by being a patron. You can go to the parade, which happens on that Saturday morning of the same weekend, and you can watch, but you're not participating. And I think that participation piece, especially that screaming from our culture in terms of being a part of it, is really missing. And I think that is a need that really screams out in the data, is that the folks who are there, they want to participate in something, and how do we make it safe? And I think we have to really look at how the streets are structured for the St. Patrick's Day Parade and the Park Ave Festival and how neighborhoods are blocked out, because I think those things will give us some look-ins on how we react to this in the Northeast.
Something that I felt very interesting about our survey also was the fact that within our survey, the demographics that we were looking for, kind of like the majority lived in, they may not have participated in the after Sunday after, but they lived in that neighborhood and they were primarily Hispanic. So we drew from this survey the demographics that we were kind of looking for, you know, to try to get what I guess a clearer sample. Mm-hmm. So that was good, in my eyes.
A question from a listener. Why is the emphasis on cars so important? Is that a cultural characteristic from the island?
It's car culture. I mean, I grew up in New York City. I lived in L.A. Chicano car culture, Puerto Rican car. My husband loved muscles cars. It is really, and Rosemary spoke to it early on, culturally, when we leave the center point of our town, our pueblo in Puerto Rico, every town has one. We literally honk our horns, fly our Puerto Rican flag proudly, and make our way home. That is a paranda. We, you know, that the caravana. We it's like we're taking the party home, and it is culturally ingrained in us. How do we do it safely? How do we do it with respect in those neighborhoods? That's what we're looking at.
It's not just You know, I was going to say it's also just not a Puerto Rican thing or Latino thing. I mean, it's a Caribbean thing.
Correct.
I mean, if you look at an example from the 2013 mayor's race, you know, Mayor Lovely Warren, the last day before the election, she did a caravana around the city with bullhorns and cars and signs. I mean, this is a culturalistic drive-ins. You know, I see a lot of drive-ins and gates in Greece and other places. Muscle cars show up, show your car. And so I think it's part of a lot of folks' culture of looking at there. And I think car culture is big here. And if you attend the parade, you see that too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think a lot of the videos you see, you know, Puerto Ricans waving the flags and everything else. Maybe some people don't understand why that's so important to us, but there was a certain time in Puerto Rico where it was illegal to wave your flags in the air. It was literally illegal, you know, and for a place that's America, where you're supposed to be able to express yourself and freedom and everything else, we're looking at that and we're like, okay, well, now we have the opportunity. They're going to wave them proudly and as fast as they need to say, hey, I'm proud of our culture being American. I'm proud of our culture being Puerto Rican, and we're here.
We could spend a whole hour discussing the confusion or ignorance that some people have about the fact that Puerto Ricans are U.S. citizens. Mm-hmm. I know the last time you were here, Annette, we talked about a survey from 2017. This poll from Morning Consult found that only 54% of Americans know that people born in Puerto Rico are U.S. citizens.
Correct.
That was 2017. Do you think that number has improved with, especially with Hurricane Maria, more people moving?
Yes, I do. I think many of our youth are now totally engaged, including my own daughters and all her millennial friends. We're really having those conversations. I think with the revolution that's happening on the island of Puerto Rico right now, our people are speaking loudly, and they are saying, we are U.S. citizens, we are proud Puerto Ricans, we will no longer be treated as second-class citizens, and our identity is so strongly bound within that mixture. It is truly a mixture of cultures in the sense of who we are, and I do believe it is. I you know, even this afternoon, there's going to be a rally at 6 o'clock the park on Clinton Avenue at 6 o'clock today. Thank you.
Torres Park.
Thank you. At 6 o'clock to support our brothers and sisters and families in Puerto Rico right now. So there is a lot of conversation happening around this. There isn't enough coverage in the media that's positive around this. And that's what we're looking. We're looking just to, you know, send that little barometer a little bit more on the positive coverage and looking at the aspects of how our community contributes to Rochester. We're the second largest cities of Latinos in New York State, outside of New York City. I mean, growing up in New York, there how many Puerto Ricans go to the Puerto Rican festival parade in New York City? Minimal incidences occur because they're engaged in a city's cultural experience. We want every single Rochesterian in Brighton, in Canandaigua, in every other surrounding community to come to our festival this year, to experience our culture firsthand, to bring their children to the children's activities, the domino events, all of these things. If you want to know what it means and experience it, come and join us. Everyone's welcome.
And speaking of New York City, because the way we started this, Anthony was awesome at doing research. And Lieutenant Anthony Nunez here from the Rochester Fire Department, whom I love, okay? Not representing fire department, but this is the many hats that we wear. And as a community citizen here from Rochester, you know, he did some real research. New York City had the same problems we are having and we've seen here in Rochester. And he was able to reach out to a committee member in New York City that talked about the differences and what they had to do. And based on all his research, is that we're following those steps, and Anthony can talk more about it.
So that day of the National Puerto Rican Parade in New York City, the other boroughs were having issues similar to what we have in Rochester, where they're having these confrontations with the police department and everything else, and having arrest, high arrest. In Sunset Park in Brooklyn that evening, they decided to throw a parade there for another second Puerto Rican Day parade in Sunset Park. From 2016 to now, they've had zero arrests, and they're starting to make really strong, poignant messages about the situations for Puerto Rico in the U.S. and in what's going on down in Puerto Rico itself.
Annette, I'm glad you think situations are improving when it comes to, you know, understanding that Puerto Ricans are U.S. citizens, or whether communities are inclusive. How do you feel about what's happening at the national level with President Trump's recent comments? The fact that during the Democratic presidential debates, there was only one mention of Puerto Rico by Julian Castro, who discussed some of the issues happening there, but nothing about poverty in Puerto Rico was brought up, nothing about the power grid, the debt crisis. I think the question that Mr. Castro brought up was about climate change. How do you all feel about what's happening nationally?
No, well, taxation without representation. I mean, I think that's what we're talking
about. I'm literally reading a book about the ideals of the American Revolution and how close we were with England, and how we, a lot of the colonials wanted to be, just have, like, they wanted to be a part of Great Britain, but they just wanted to have the same representation as them, which resulted in them eventually revolting and becoming the empire that we are now. And now we've got our own colonies who are saying, please, we like to be part of the U.S. We want representation. We want to be there. It's amazing, the duality between what's going on 200 years ago and what's going on right now.
It's all over social media. I mean, it's everywhere. The whole weekend
the protests
in my house.
And, yeah.
Everywhere. And this is wonderful. The fact that we're having conversations in my household with my millennials and with my elders and with my neighbors, this is exactly what can transform and change a community. Conversation, authentic conversation, conversation about the difficult topics. All of these pieces fall into place. Latina pay equity, we're the lowest on the totem pole. Don't even get me started on that. But regarding Puerto Rico, we are a very passionate, committed community. We're loyal. I mean, and that's buying power, by the way. So I do see transformation. It's going to be a radical year. And I'll tell you, we will not rest until we are transformed as Puerto Ricans. So
now,
we're going to hear it.
As the one person around this table that actually can say I live in Puerto Rico, my time is spent between here and Puerto Rico. I'm in Puerto Rico every other month. My parents and my entire family is down there. And I can tell you, growing up between two countries, but being one U.S. American citizen, whether you're here or you're on the island, you're very proud to be an American citizen, and you hold it very proudly. The thing about most immigrants when they came here, because we migrated here. We weren't immigrants. We were U.S. citizens, okay? And immigrants come here, and it is like they're absorbed, and they leave a lot of their culture behind, whether you're from Ireland, Italy. My husband is Italian. You know, it doesn't matter. It's like they weren't taught Italian language. I, on the other hand, because I keep going back to my homeland so often, and it's my second home, my children were taught Spanish, fluent in both languages, and it's about keeping our culture alive. And we're very proud, U.S. citizens, but culturally, we're very proud of being Puerto Ricans as well, because it's two that bring love into our heart. And right now, I go down to Puerto Rico and I hear everyone that I have down there talk, politics and everything, frustrations. I lived going back to Hurricane Maria and trying to get my elderly parents up here. And the frustrations and everything that is happening in the services, I've been doing fundraisers for Vieques, Puerto Rico, who still is under power generators. And guess what? No hospital on the land. So my last fundraiser was in December for Vieques. That's only a few months away. And it hurts because their voices are not being heard. And that's why you see so many people in the streets right now, because government is not doing what they said. And when our president is holding money back from our island that was promised to be delivered, what would you be doing if it was here?
If someone's from Texas, they're not asking him not to be proud to be a Texan when they come to New York, right? Okay, it's the same thing.
I think what I'm hearing from the comments, too, is participation, participation, participation. Mm-hmm. It strikes me that our survey respondents attend the festival. They do not attend the parade, right. And they want a parade. Right. So I think we have to look at that.
Absolutely.
Be Puerto Rican for a day and do it safe.
That's right. August 16th through 18th, that's the festival this year. You can find more information online. I want to thank all of our guests from the Northeast Safety Committee for being here. Rosemary Villarubia Izzo, Annette Ramos, Anthony Plonzinski, Anthony Nunes, thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Listeners, we're going to have a conversation about the political and economic situation in Puerto Rico. That's coming up next week. Stay tuned for that. In the meantime, go online. Check out the festival. Check out the survey results. Contact the committee. More connections next.